Well, greetings today in the name of the Lord. We're glad to be with you on the Sunday morning sessions. Glad for you who are here today and those that are gathering with us throughout the Lord's body and wherever that body may be found this morning. And we know that it is throughout the earth, around the world. And we're pleased to be able to speak to, as many of that body as possible. I'm thinking about one of our ladies this morning. I'm thinking about a lot of things this morning. But I'm thinking about one of our ladies who just recently lost her mother. Most of you, well, all of you know Kim Jones. And no doubt we'll be watching this session this morning. And Kim, we've known about that since the day that it happened. And also we've known that you probably had a million things to do. Kim has been taking care of her mother, not in her mother's house, and going back and forth for a number of years, in fact. And so this was not a surprise. But it is never an easy thing either for a child, whatever age that child may be, to deal with the death of their parents, and seems like most particularly their mom. But we are standing with you today and have been. And if there's anything at all that we can do for you, as you well know, don't hesitate to let us know. But may the Lord richly bless you and just lead and guide and direct you at this particular time. All right, we're talking about the eternal purpose of God. How far above. How far above the thinking of most, even most believers, that is. A plan, a purpose that was established of God in Christ before the foundation of the world. And let me tell you something else that I've been thinking about, and I really wasn't for sure which direction I was going to go this morning, and trying to give it some thought, and mainly just hear the voice of the Lord. Several days I've been looking at fullness, the fullness that filleth. And then a verse here in Ephesians 4 and 10, he that descended is the same that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. The word fill there is not like liquid being poured into a bottle or sand into a glass or anything like that. It actually means make complete. That's the best rendition of that word that I have found in the Bible and in all of the Bible dictionaries. I mean, it's applicable to several things. Fill up, make full, accomplish. But the word to make complete. Make complete. Do you know what this verse is talking about? when it's referring to. It was after his death, burial, and resurrection that he presented himself to the Father as being the very accomplished work of God, that everything that he was given of his Father to accomplish was accomplished. And he was presenting himself as the completeness of it. Nothing left out of our salvation. Nothing left of anything. John 17, he affirms that before his death. I have finished that which you gave me to do. But it wasn't things that he presented to the Father, it was himself. And as we go on and search the scriptures, which I'm not going to do with you this morning, but as we go on and search the scriptures, we find that not only is he the fulfillment, see, because we don't even comprehend for sure all that was given him to do. We have it all tied up with sin. But though Adam's sin was taken care of in the death of Adam, salvation is so much more than that. Salvation is summed up in all of the promises of God. All of them. All of them. Most believers probably haven't looked at all of them just in the book of Psalms alone. And yet, you'll hear believers coin the phrase time and time again, all the promises in the book are mine. They heard some preacher say that. And have no comprehension of the promises at all. And I was thinking about this here last night, yesterday, and the day before that. The Old Testament saints, Israel, to the Old Testament saints, were the promises made. They were given the promises. To us, was given the promise, himself. Everything ever promised of God, summed up, not only fulfilled, but having its fullness in that person of Christ. We won't sit here, I don't have the time to do it anyway, and go through 100 words in spiritual and biblical vocabulary that would involve. But all the promises, every single one of them, he's not only the answer to it, not only the fulfillment of it, like he brought it about, he didn't just bring it about. He brought it about in himself. All the promises are summed up in the person. If we could only get a hold of that and set our heart not to knowing the promises as something added to him or other than him. If we could just get a hold of it and know that we will never understand the promises until we understand them, not only in our vocabulary in Christ, but in the person of Christ, as Christ. And then set our heart on knowing him, trying to figure out the love, the joy, the peace, the this, the that, the other, the riches, the glory, on and on and on and on. The promises of God. I'm not making light of the promises of God. I am throwing some reflection maybe upon how most people define those promises, and most people do that. And I say most Christians do that because that's how they're taught to do it or untaught to do it, as separate from him. And we fail to understand that when we receive the very promise of God, the promise, Christ himself, the promise, in whom all other promises are summed up, when we receive him, hon, we have received it all. And that's the shame of it. Back to the word fullness now. Christ dwelleth in you according to that which dwelleth in him. And all the promises of God dwelleth in him as yea and amen. Paul says that. He said, our preaching to you is not yea and nay, but yea and yea. In other words, we're not just saying that. Everything in Christ is full and complete. And if believers could just get a hold of that and then turn our heart to knowing him and not trying to find these things in addition to him or as something that he enables me to do. But rather, knowing him by the Spirit of God as who he is in that very inward way. And receiving in him all that God hath given in him. So the word fullness. He showed himself to the Father to be the completement of all things. The completement. So it isn't Christ plus anything. Now, you cannot separate fullness from the one who is that fullness. You can't do it. Over and over, Paul says in his epistles, and not only that, in the Gospels of John, I say Gospels, the Gospel, the Epistles, the Revelation, whatever. What do you find there? Now, Janie and I were talking about that just to some little degree the other night. The synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, presenting one view of Christ, then John presenting, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same as in the beginning with God, that Word made flesh, came and dwelt among us. I mean, same Jesus, same Christ, same Son of God, but from a different perspective, a different viewpoint with John. I don't suppose that there are any gospels, any writings, whether it be what we call the Gospel of John or his epistles or Revelation. I don't think that there is anyone, including Paul's epistles, though all of this, though what I'm about to say is certainly referred to in Paul's epistles, but I don't think there's any writing in the Bible where the Lord Jesus is more exalted than in the writings of John. It is there that we are told, I am Alpha, Omega, and all of that goes along with that. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is there that we are told, I am he that liveth. Was dead. And he makes quick work of that, doesn't he? Was dead. Well, he made quick work of the whole thing. 3 days and it was done. And it only used up 3 days that it might fulfill all things that were written, so that the testimony could be clearly seen, fulfilled in the one of whom it was given throughout all of the Scripture. So the 3 days are significant there. Just as significant as the three feasts, which were actually summed up as 3 days. Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, all of which are summed up in the eighth day, the new Sabbath, the last Sabbath, the new creation of God in Christ. On and on we could go, hon. But all of that comes to be presented to us in the writings of John. Paul brings all of that not only into the person of Christ, but then he brings the person of Christ right into the believer. Right into the believer. And I'll be talking about all of this here with regard to this eternal purpose of God. But what I want to tell you, if Christ is in you, let's think together for a moment. If he is in you, he is there by new birth. If he is there by new birth, darling, new birth is Christ. Now, I couldn't find a while ago what I was looking for over in my office, and I apologize for that, but I don't know what I did with it since last night. I laid it somewhere. I wanted to read about full and fullness to you this morning. But you know where most of those verses are. It'd be a good search for you to look at them. In Colossians 2:10, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What is greater than that? See, that's a term most of us don't pay attention to and we don't have a lot of understanding on it or a lot of information on it, but just think about it this morning, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him. But the next sentence says, and you are complete in him. You know what Hebrews 9:24 says? It says he hasn't entered into types and shadows of heaven. He hasn't entered into the figures like the old high priest did, like the Aaronic high priest did. He hasn't entered into places made by hands, but has entered into heaven itself. Why? I'll just read it to you, one part of it. Let me see. That ascended up, he that descended is the same that ascended far above all heavens, that he might complete. But the word means, he still hasn't got something. The word there is to show himself as the completeness of. And you put that with Hebrews 9:24, who hasn't entered it, because the Hebrew writer is saying the same thing as Paul is saying here in Ephesians 4:10. But he's saying it, but the Hebrew writer is bringing everything, he's writing to the Hebrews. He's bringing everything from the old priesthood, the old tabernacle, the old temple, the old concept of heaven. The old concept of heaven. He brings it all right over into Christ. The Hebrew writer does this. And particularly in the 8th chapter and the 9th chapters, read them. Read the 8th chapter. Start with it. It's the summation of chapter 1 all the way up to and through chapter 8. Paul says it is, or the writer says it is. Now is the sum of all that we have said. We have such a high priest. And then here he goes with that, and it's Christ. Exalting him above and beyond and above all things. Well, typically in the Feast of Tabernacles, he was exalted that way. But it was in types and shadows and going behind the veil and the glory, and all of that. But you see, he hasn't entered into something like that, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. And he did not appear empty. He did not appear empty. All of those that were in him and all of those who would ever be in him and all of those that God had given unto him or would ever give unto him, he appeared there on behalf of all of them. But the word "for" there doesn't mean instead of us. It has to do with he presented. He presented his very body. His very body. You and I. Paul says it again. For you are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. So he appeared. As the completement, showed himself to be the completeness of salvation. See, hon, that's not just something that he did, but who now appears. Who now appears. The Hebrew, who now appears. And where are we? Quickened together with him. Raised together with him. Seated together with him. In heavenly places. In Christ. See, they're not talking about different things. He's talking about what Jesus said and what we've been sitting here talking about for months. In that day you will know I am in my Father. And you in me and I in you. I don't know how many commentators I read day before yesterday and yesterday. But I sat there and my heart just broke. Now these are men that love God. These are men that love God, men that I don't know how far they go back, or that any of them, if any of them are still alive or not. Some of the older ones, like Adam Clark and some, you know. But as I read how that was watered down and how they went to great pains, I read the whole thing. And then I looked at the scriptures that they gave, which is just, yeah. And I looked at the scriptures of which they were speaking. I said, how did you do that? How did you look at that scripture concerning our union with Christ and put that somewhere into the future? How did you do that? And how can you explain Christ in you by saying that that is talking about His influence being in our heart? That He is outside, He is in heaven, but He is influencing us. How do you change the scripture from Christ in you to having His influence? And it just broke my heart. Because the whole reality, hon, of heaven is found for us in Him. Now, if that sounds like too little of a view of heaven for anybody, then my answer to you is that you need to have a greater view of Christ. You need to have a greater view of Christ. You need to see Him beyond dealing with sin. You need to see Him who is the epitome, the personification of the second. You need to see Him. Everything the second. Take away the first, establish the second. Everything that the second, the new, is, is in Him. Everything. Place promised. Promised of God that He would prepare. The place He prepared for Himself to. I mean, I'm talking about Exodus. I'm talking about Exodus 15:17. I'm talking about the whole trip of Israel from the very night that God initiated the feast of Passover to the very end of that journey to Solomon standing in the temple of God that he had finished and dedicating it on the very last feast of Israel, Tabernacles. And that's just the type and shadow. And then here comes Jesus, looks at the Jews who know all about that, and says, a greater than Solomon is come, and presents himself as that greater one. Also a greater prophet than Moses has come, of whom Moses himself prophesied. Now, I'm not just rambling, hon. I'm trying to just gather things up that all of us should know. And when we're born from above, that's the one who comes in. It doesn't take anything else other than the Spirit of Christ coming into our soul. For if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Yet he that is joined to the Lord in this union is one spirit. Yes, because there's one body, one baptism, one Spirit, one Lord, one God and Father of all. And where is that? In Christ. In Christ. I've got it all. I intended to get there anyway today. In Christ. And that Christ is in you. If you are born from above. My point is that if that Christ is in you, then His fullness is in you. And I was writing something primarily to myself, that the fullness we need is not the fullness that He is. We have Christ fully. And He showed that to the Father. With us hidden in Him. And He does that continually. See that? Again. It's not something He did once. It's something He does eternally. You'll know I am in my Father. What is He doing? Appearing for you and me. But not as though we're not there. He is showing us to be in Him. He is showing the Father. It would be like, and the type and shadow of it is, Solomon building, as it were, the house of David, the house of God that David desired. And it was David who gave Solomon the pattern, just as God gave Moses the pattern for the tabernacle. So David gave Solomon the pattern for the temple, and then told him principally the same thing God told Moses. See that you do it according to the pattern. What He actually said was, do it. I mean, that's in the scripture. Do it. And Solomon did. And then Solomon was exalted of God more than any king in Israel had ever been exalted. And was the glory of his father David sitting upon the throne. Because he sat upon the throne of David. You ever read concerning that throne in the book of Revelation? The one sitting there, the one in the midst of the one sitting there, the one in the midst of the throne, the Son of God having finished the work, the Lamb of God having finished the work, the Lamb of God with all power and all knowing and all crowns and all everything. And that's fulfilled in Christ. I mean, if it's not fulfilled in Christ, I'd just soon throw my whole Bible away and just read, I don't know. Read nothing. The whole thing of it. He appeared, He appears. In the presence of the Father, and we are there in Him. And He presents us as that which He has finished. You know, when I'm added to Christ, hon, when I'm baptized into Christ, when you come to be in Christ, I didn't make the thing more full. I was added to a perfect work. I was placed in a completed salvation. And the one I'm in dwells in me. Your salvation is complete. The fullness of God dwelleth in him, and he dwelleth in you. It's not that fullness I need. The shame of it is we have that fullness in Christ who is in us. We have that fullness and are ignorant of it. That's the shame of it. Ignorant of it. And so I scratched out. The fullness we need is to be filled with the knowledge, what Paul calls the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. It is by that, he says, that I win Christ, or gain Christ, or know Christ as he is. He calls it the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Do you and I understand? Do we have an inkling? Are we beginning to see that terms like that, and particularly that term, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, is none other, no less than Christ himself? Christ, seeing Christ himself imparted, and him. Dwelling in our heart, that is the renewing of our mind, dwelling in our heart. That he who lives and dwells in our soul may dwell in our heart, that our heart may be filled with the knowledge which actually is him. See, I don't have words to say this. I've stuttered around at this for years, and I'm getting worse. But I didn't know that there were so many people who preach different levels of, you know, deeper life, this, that, and the other, who still did not have real comprehension that the knowledge of Christ cannot be separated from who Christ is. It's not Christ and then the knowledge of Christ. Not really. That's the way we understand it to be. And then we start out trying to learn things about him and call that the knowledge of Christ. No, the knowledge of Christ is the knowledge that is impregnated. We're impregnated with a spiritual seed, impregnated. It's like an impregnation. Knowing is like an impregnation. It has a copulating effect to it and meaning to it. Because the knowledge of Christ is not knowledge about him. It's not things that the Father shares with us about his Son. No, it's the Father showing us his Son. God hath spoken in Son. Whatever word you may come up with, God hath spoken in Son. And it is in that Son, not in that Son that we see things about life. It's in that Son we see the life. Show us the light of that life, the light, the knowledge, the understanding, the comprehension, the glory, the light of that life that fills our heart. The light of the life that's in you. The light of the one who lives in you. The light of him in whom all fullness dwells. It's not about getting more of Christ. It's about knowing Him. Coming to realize the fullness that He is, the completeness that He is. See, the Father knows that. The Father would show us the Son that we may know that and be satisfied with the satisfaction of the Father. But it's a living reality, hon. It is a living reality. Jesus says in John 17 that they may be, Father, one as we are one. The point there is as we are. It is a living union, a living reality. It's not, you understand what He's saying there? Would you look at it in John 17? It's a living reality. He starts in John 17 in speaking to the Father. And He does so by exalting the Father. And then in just a few verses down, He says, Father, I will that You would glorify Me with the glory that I had with You before the world was. Glorify Me with Thine own self. The union that I left, that I might be clothed upon with that same union. And He was, hon, and He is. Because heaven had to open to Him. And that's what this descended and ascended thing is all about here with Paul. The one who descended has ascended, that he might appear to the Father and show himself to be the completeness of the work of the Father. Well, what has this to do with the eternal plan and purpose of God? Everything, as we will find out. And I every week I have intention. I have it marked right here. This was marked for the second session. Then I marked it again for the third session. And I just keep marking it. And every time I get here, the Lord has just expanded the view. By some means or another. It might be a pamphlet that I pick up. But by some means or another, the Lord challenges my view of the Son. Well, since the eternal purpose of God must never become a subject with us, but a reality of which Christ is the fullness, then we don't need to really treat it like a subject, but rather a reality. And I'll tell you this, hon. Every view of Christ that you have, and you know that we're not talking about dreams and visions and we're talking about the opening of the eyes of our understanding. And if it is, if what happens in your heart and is just one beam of that light, piercing into your soul. That is Him. That is Him. But what I'm telling you is that every time the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, because that's the Spirit that dwells in you. What I'm telling you is that there's not, again, I must say it, it's not Christ in you and then somewhere at some times Christ being fully in you, and then somewhere at some times then the knowledge of Christ. Hun, the knowledge of Christ comes in knowing Christ and by no other way, because you can't separate the two. In Him is life. The life is the light. You can't separate what is inseparable except in the ignorance of our own thinking. Because we look at things in a three-dimensional realm, in an earth realm, and that's not the realm of seeing Him. Because it's a living knowledge. It's not God giving us information, but God showing us the living one. The life of the living one, yes, but the life of the living one is the living one. The knowledge of the living one is the living one. Come on, it's Christ. Christ in you. Hon, this is your salvation we're talking about now. It is Christ, not a theology, not even right thinking concerning Him. No, it's Him. It's Him. And it's in this understanding of Him that you will begin and that I will begin to comprehend eternal purpose which He purposed in Himself. That is behind everything, behind and in and, you know, and on behalf of everything that the Father has done, including give us the Son. It's all toward a purpose. The Son is not only necessary for, the Son Himself is the substance of it. But it has to do with a view of that Son that is the very view of the Father's own heart. Let me just close this then by, because this has been another foundational study, and that's great. We need to stay on the foundation. I have, son and daughters, many of you that are listening, I'm sure do too, and some that are sitting here. What I want to say is that no one, let's just take no one looks either at my son or my daughters. Like I do. They don't have a heart for it. They'll look at things. They'll look at, you know, and I could go on and on about that, but you know what I'm telling you. They don't have a heart for it. No man knoweth who the Son is save the Father. And to show that he is not separated from the Father or in some kind of a lesser order, or to show that he is the very heart and mind and knowledge and on and on and on of the Father himself, he says, and no man knoweth who the Father is save the Son, and to whomsoever he would reveal him. Can you see in that, just get a hold of that, that this is what we're talking about here when we say the revealing of the Son in you? Lord, Lord, my Lord, my Lord. We are not talking about, I am not talking about a point of theology. I will not. I refuse to argue with any human being, born, unborn, saved, unsaved, concerning this matter. Because in my soul, it can't be separated. You cannot separate light and life. You can't do it. I can't do it. I want to know him as the Father in his own heart. And the Father, in his own satisfaction, knows him to be. That's how I want to know the Son. Because until I do, I will not know the Father's heart. And I just kind of believe somewhere in me that this has to do with the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. A calling above us. Because that word calling there in Philippians is the same one Paul uses in Ephesians 4 when he says that you might walk worthy of the vocation. Same word. With which you are called. The hope of our calling. One hope of our calling. Same word, vocation. And all of this, according to this eternal purpose. Out from which God has done everything that he has done. And all of that in view of his Son. All right, time to stop. But darling, that Son is in you. He's there. If you are born from above, what view of him is filling, because it's that fills, filling our soul. Father, thank you today for your great grace, that grace which is, which is measured to its full by the person of your own Son. Lead us and guide us and direct us. In all things, in the knowledge of him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. All right, that's it for today.